So take this moment, Mary Jane, and be selfish. And worry not about the cars that go by. 'Cause all that matters, Mary Jane, is your freedom. So keep warm, my dear.
Good morning, this is Jax, and welcome to Good Old Days Live on Mondays at 8 for some country and southern rock music and its backstory. So don't forget to listen in every Monday here on radio.dominican.edu. All right, so here's what I'm thinking. Each show, I'm going to play some of my personal favorites, some oldies, and then we'll end on my modern favorite of the week. That way, I kind of wanted there to be like one newbie song in the mix, so we get a little bit of variety. So that's the game plan. We're gonna see how it goes. Before we begin, I wanted to give you guys a background on me and why I love this music, being the first show and all. So really, when I was a little girl, my father was the only one in my family who listened to a few of the older American artists. He listened to Jim Reeves, some Johnny Cash, some Willie Nelson, and a whole lot of Elvis. He loves the King. So I grew up knowing a few songs from those guys. And I listened to that stuff pretty much all throughout middle school, and I took a break from it in high school, mainly because I kind of went through the typical like teenage identity crisis, which was just a super weird phase. So I kind of, once I got into high school, I realized that no one else was listening to that stuff. So I did kind of feel like a misfit because no one else seemed to like that music but me. So that's when I kind of made the switch into more mainstream, and I started listening to a lot of hip-hop and rap, which I'm like, now I don't really listen to it at all, which is why it's so funny I made like a complete 180 in my music style back then. But anyway, so fast forward a few years, and then I graduated high school, and then slowly I just started going back to that music that I started listening to in middle school, and it just kind of blew up like crazy, and it's expanded ever since then. And even though, I mean, I still feel like I technically am a misfit still, because I'm the only one out of the people that I know that likes this stuff, I'd say the rest of my friends listen to similar music, but more, you know, to each other. Like, they all have kind of the same music on there phones and stuff, and then I'm just the odd one out. And even though they do listen to some country, and none of them really enjoy the classics, though they only kind of like the modern country, and majority of the music that they play is stuff that I've never heard of. So usually it's always like, oh, do you know this song? And I usually say like, no idea. Or they'll always ask me like, oh, you know who sings this, right? And I'm like, no, I don't know, because I'm so lost when it comes to who's releasing what now and what's coming out, but it's okay. So practically every time, that's the scenario because I'm stuck in another decade, I feel like, as if that's not bad enough, I also feel like I torture my friends if we go into the city or go on a road trip, just because they're pretty much screwed if I end up driving, since I'm a really, really strict enforcer of the whole, you know, my car, my music rule. So they'll just have to tough it out for hours while I sing my heart out, and they'll try to put their headphones in, or some will really politely ask if they can change the song, my poor friends. But I don't really get weird or anything anymore. I prefer music from like 30 years ago, and that's totally fine. And I know that one day I'll find another friend that loves these genres, and that way I'm not completely alone. The reason why I think I prefer the oldies so much is because I feel like the lyrics are just a lot more meaningful. And for me, they're a lot more relatable. And I just feel like they bring a certain outlook on life and its hardships. And for me, it puts me at ease. It keeps life simple, and it always gets me in a better mood. And because of that, I really listen to it all the time, every day. So overall, I'd say like about maybe 80% of what I listen to is Southern rock and classic country. And then the remaining 20% is kind of split up and divided into, like, I listen to blues, I listen to bluegrass. I do have a little bit of mainstream country and some rock. But it's all kind of old rock, actually, now that I think about it. It's just AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, and the Stones, again, with the older music. Alrighty. So now you guys know my deal and kind of why I, you know, like that music. So I just want to jump right into our first song. This one is by Hank Williams. You guys might know him as the first American country superstar. So without further ado, here is his song, Mind Your Own Business, here on radio.dominican.edu.
If the wife and I are a fussing, brother, that's all right. 'Cause me and that sweet woman's got a license to fight. Why don't you mind your own business? Mind your own business. 'Cause if you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine. Oh, the woman on our party line's a nosy thing. She picks up her receiver when she knows it's my ring. Why don't you mind your own business? Mind your own business. Well, if you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine. I've got a little gal that wears her hair up high. The boys all whistle when she walks by. Why don't you mind your own business? Mind your own business. Well, if you mind your business, then you sure won't be minding mine. Honky-tonk around till 2 or 3. Now, brother, that's my headache. Don't you worry about me. Just mind your own business. Mind your own business. If you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine. Seems to be high tone. I got all that I can do just to mind my own. Why don't you mind your own business? Mind
mind your own business. If you mind your own business, you'll stay busy all the time.
So that was Mind Your Own Business with Hank Williams. In the last verse, I just want to repeat these just because I think they're kind of awesome lyrics. He says, minding other people's business seems to be high-toned. I got all that I can do just to mind my own. Why don't you mind your own business? You'll stay busy all the time. And I think this kind of sums up the song and the importance of just not being nosy and not trying to always stick your head in other people's business. I feel like anyone who likes to gossip and who always wants to know what's going on should have Mind Your Own Business just play to them on repeat. This would have really come in handy with me in high school. Would have taught me not to spread rumors or anything. Because if you mind your own business, then you won't be minding mine. I like that. I actually say that a lot in real life. These lyrics are just, I just find them really awesome. And I think the song just has that classic, like, old sound. I love it. So about Hank Williams, he was originally born Hiram Williams. He was born September 17th, 1923 in Mount Olive of Alabama. He was born to Lon and Lily Williams and was raised in a rural home that didn't have much money. His father was frequently away on work, so Lily kind of took charge of the family and she moved them around Alabama, and eventually they ended up in Montgomery, which is still in Alabama. During his childhood, Hank actually had spina bifida, which I'm trying to think of like the most simple way to explain it. Okay, so basically it's when some of the vertebrae, like over the spinal cord, they're not fully developed, and this kind of separated him from other kids around his age, which it actually kind of geared him and pushed him into the music world. So he was a quick learner. He did pick up folk, blues, country music. He learned it all. And soon after that, around 1937, Hank Williams made his radio debut. And it followed, you know, with tons of talent shows and even the creation of his very own band named Hank Williams and his Drifting Cowboys. And with the help of his mom was super supportive of his musical career, and so with the help of her and his band, Williams eventually attracted some music executives from Nashville in the early 1940s. And as his success began to grow, so did Hank's dependence on alcohol. And in his defense, I'm not like saying like, yeah, he was right for doing this, but I'm not saying he was wrong. Just scratch that. He started drinking a lot more due to the back pain that I think probably could have been a result from the spinal disorder that he had as a child, because he just kept saying like, oh, I need the alcohol because that helps, you know, with the pain in the back. But because of this, he actually was considered an unreliable entertainer, just because he was kind of an unpredictable performer. You guys, I'm getting so tongue-tied right now. I'm so sorry. Anyways, then in 1943, Hank met Miss Audrey Mae Shepherd, who was a single mom, and the two got married shortly after that in 1944 and had a son in 1949. Those of you might already be able to figure out which son I'm talking about. He quickly followed in his dad's footsteps. We'll hear him later on, trust me. Unfortunately, in 1953, though, on January 1st in West Virginia, Hank Williams had a heart attack and passed away in the backseat of his Cadillac. And because of his early death at just age 29, this guy was young, Hank's music career was just cut short. However, he did have several hits, like, what was some of them? Oh, there was Hey Good Lookin', Cold Cold Heart. There was Your Cheatin' Heart and I'll Never Get Out of This World Alive. Those are all really, really good songs. I really do encourage you guys to just check them out. So I think it's pretty obvious that if Williams had a longer life, that he would have had more songs to add to that list. And yeah, that is Hank Williams for today. So that is our first old country artist of the day. So now I just want to get into some Southern rock with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And really quick, before I play a song of theirs, I feel like you all should know just how obsessed I am with this group. I'm talking about like multiple Lynyrd Skynyrd t-shirts. Sweet Home Alabama is one of my ringtones. I have to listen to them at least like 3 times per day or else something just, I feel like I missed something. And I feel like I'm constantly playing them when I cook, when I clean, when I wash my car, when I shower. It's ridiculous. And even as if that's not enough, it's like there's certain activities that trigger Lynyrd Skynyrd songs. So like if I'm fishing, there's a certain Lynyrd Skynyrd song that like needs to be playing, or if I'm camping, or if I'm barbecuing, or just any of that. I even actually listen to them, I'm not even joking, on the way over here today to get to the studio and just belted out. And I think it did help with the nervousness a little bit, kind of, until I started messing up all the words, but oh well. And on top of that, as if that's not enough, certain emotions are actually linked to specific Lynyrd songs for me. So again, for example, if I'm happy, there's a song for that. If I'm feeling sad, then there's a different song. And if I'm pissed off, you guessed it, there is a separate Lynyrd Skynyrd song that I will play. So I definitely say that I'm a huge Lynyrd Skynyrd fan, just huge. They're one of my all-time favorite bands, hands down. So now I really wanted to just play one of my songs, my favorite songs by these guys, which is Simple Man. I was actually recently at the Hard Rock Cafe in San Francisco. Me and my mom had like a little lunch date. And this song came on and I just kind of forgot where I was and started rocking out. And I began playing the air guitar, which really, you guys, it gets so intense that I should stop doing it in public, because it's, some people do it and it's like, oh, that's funny, that's cute, but when I do it, it's kind of almost like borderline, it's just a little bit embarrassing, so I should try to tone it down. But then the singing started and I was trying to like not choke on my food that I was eating, and at the same time I was making sure that like none of it like spewed out on my poor mom. And when the song was over, I just casually returned back to eating. It was a good time. So here is one of my favorites. This is Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd. I hope you guys like it as much as I do. Here we go.
Thank you.
So that was Simple Man with Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yeah, here on radio.dominican.edu. I just adore these lyrics and their message. I feel like every time I'm being a spoiled brat, I force myself to listen to this, and it kind of just, I don't know, it snaps me back to reality, and it kind of makes me shut up about all the superficial and complicated issues that often I feel like distract me from important stuff in life. So it kind of, I want to say this song keeps me grounded a little bit, as cheesy as it sounds, but it's true. So this serves as a reminder, I feel like, that we should kind of remember what really matters in life and just what doesn't. And it definitely holds a place in my heart because of that. And I know it also does hold a huge place for the dudes who wrote it. So I just want to talk about those guys really quick. So Ronnie Van Zant, who did the band's original vocals, and Gary Rossington, who plays lead guitar, actually dedicated the song to very special women in their lives. Van Zant's grandma and Rossington's mom had passed away shortly. Had passed away. And then shortly after that, the band was hanging out at Van Zant's apartment, and they began telling stories of them. And they ended up taking the women's advice and those memories, and Gary just started kind of creating the chords and forming the song while Ronnie came up with the lyrics. And they actually finished that song in about an hour. So really quickly put together, and it still is amazing. Their producer at the time, actually, Al Cooper, who I think he played the organ in Simple Man, and he actually did appear in a few of Lynyrd Skynyrd's songs, so he did have a little musical appearance in them. He didn't really like the song all that much, so the group pulled a fast one on him, and they just went ahead and recorded it without him, and they just figured, like, you know, we'll add his organ part in afterwards, and that's what they did. And even after that, Cooper was still kind of pushing them to, like, you know, don't release it, but they did, and, it, you know, it started gaining popularity with the Lynyrd Skynyrd fans, so he just let it go. So they proved him wrong. It was a huge, huge success. So since its release in 1973 from their debut album, two bands have actually done a cover of Simple Man. One is from Shinedown, and the other is by the Deftones. And Shinedown is, like, it's a hard rock alternative band, I think, and Deftones, they're also classified as alternative metal as well, but they're actually also grouped in with experimental rock, which I had no idea was even, like, an actual thing. I feel like there's too many genres now for me to remember, but I didn't even know that experimental rock was a legitimate thing, but whatever. So personally, I can't stand the Deftones one. I've tried to, like, listen to it all, but there's just something about it that I can't. But the Shinedown one isn't actually bad. I have it on my iPhone, and I actually wanted to play you guys just a little clip of the song so y'all can get an idea of, you know, how it kind of compares to it. So I'm going to find a clip that's, like, towards the end a little bit, just because the beginning is so, it's like the longest intro ever. But here we go. Alrighty, so here is Shinedown's cover of Simple Man.
Do this, oh baby, if you try. All that I want from you, my son, is to be satisfied and be a simple. If you care,
alrighty, so that was their cover of Simple Man, Shinedown. And their cover is a lot more, like, acoustic sounding. And I mean, I still like it. The guy has really, really powerful vocals. I think Shinedown's lead vocalist is named, what's his name? Oh my God. Oh, his name's Brent Smith. And he has a good set of pipes right there, really. So you can tell he's like singing his heart and soul. So it really, it's not that bad. I still like the original the best though, but I do think that Shinedown definitely did it justice. The cool thing about Shinedown is that they are actually from the same town as Lynyrd Skynyrd. Well, now that I say that, they're not actually, not all of them are from the same town. I do think that Shinedown's singer, Brent Smith, is actually from Tennessee, but nonetheless, they originated in the same town as Lynyrd Skynyrd. And Ronnie Van Zant's daughter, Melody Van Zant, she's actually married to Shinedown's guitarist, Jason Todd. And they got married in 2004, which is when Simple Man's cover was released. So there's that connection. So I think that when Melody Van Zant and Jason Todd were engaged, that's when the band decided to record the cover. So I think that's definitely kind of cool, their little interconnection. So there's the history on the song Simple Man itself. And I want to quickly talk about how the band came to be. I think this is just, it's such a funny and great story. So it all started in 1966. I feel like I'm going to tell you guys a story now. The members of the original Lynyrd Skynyrd were teenage friends at the same high school, Robert E. Lee High School in Jacksonville, Florida. And the boys had a gym teacher. His name was Lynyrd Skynyrd. Lynyrd was spelled L-E-O-N-A-R-D, and Skynyrd was S-K-I-N-N-E-R. It's a cool last name. It's kind of creepy, but it's a cool last name. And Coach Skynyrd kept telling them to get haircuts. If you check out pictures of these guys, just Google Lynyrd Skynyrd and look at some photos, and you'll totally see, you'll understand this haircut business. I actually think that they have longer hair than me right now. They do. They totally do. And because Mr. Skynyrd, he kept urging them to change their physical appearance before they came back to school. So they actually just decided, you know what, let's drop out of high school and let's just form a band because we don't want to get our hair cut. So they ended up calling themselves Lynyrd Skynyrd, and they changed the spelling and the wording around a bit. So they ended up going with Lynyrd is spelled like L-Y-N-Y-R-D. And Skynyrd is S-K-Y-N-Y-R-D. So overall, though, they did end up dedicating that name to their teacher because he was the one who kind of, you know, urged them to leave and actually start on this whole little dream of theirs. So, yeah, and I think I'll just stop with Lynyrd Skynyrd there because I'll keep going. I won't shut up. But I'm going to call that our Lynyrd Skynyrd lesson of the day. So moving right along to another legend, this man has had an enormous career. He has written more than 1,000 songs and released over 100 albums while winning several awards, because he's not doing enough already that he's winning awards as well, of course. He's won the Grammys, he's won Country Music Awards, and he's also won the American Music Awards. This man definitely has a rare voice to me. I feel like whenever he's singing, I just, I know I can always tell. And I feel like if I had a voice like his, I'd never speak normally. I would just sing nonstop. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen one of those really annoying musicals where, like, not only are there songs, but everyone just sings. Like, there's no, like, regular spoken sentence. Everyone's just like, oh yes, I'll have some pancakes, or like whatever. Like, it's just, they don't stop singing. But I feel like that's exactly what I would do if I had his voice. I would just, my life would be like a 24/7 musical. So here we go. Without further ado, this is Willie Nelson with Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground.
If you had not have fallen, then I would not have found you. Angel flying too close to the ground. And I patched up your broken wing. trying to keep your spirits up. Your fever down. I knew someday that you would fly away. For love's the greatest healer.
Once again, that was Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground here on Good Old Days on Penguin Radio. And that's going to be my wedding song one day with whoever my future husband is. I've already decided it. He can plan the rest of the wedding just as long as that song gets to be my wedding song. That's not important. Let's talk about Willie, because Willie Nelson is important. He was born April 30th in 1933 in Abbott, Texas. Lone Star State, and Willie Nelson, he began to build his name up in the late 1960s as he became a major figure in outlaw country, which was rooted in, it kind of went back to like the honky-tonk style through the 1960s till early 1980s. It was considered outlaw music just because it really did challenge Nashville's conservatism, and it really did conflict with their their favor for a more clean-cut image in country. So, way to go, Willie, sticking up to the big guys. Back to this beautiful song, though. Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground was released in 1980 from the film Honeysuckle Rose, which was a romantic drama that starred Willie Nelson himself. It also had, I think, Amy Irving in it, Diane Cannon, and Slim Pickens. The music, actually, from the movie, their soundtrack produced two number one singles, one being this song, Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground, and the other was On the Road Again, which is another one of my favorites. Also, you guys should definitely check that one out. That one's good. So Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground held the number one spot for a week and ended up holding its place on the country music chart for about 14 weeks. So long. That's such a good amount of time. So now that you guys know a little bit about Willie Nelson, I want to move into our final song for today in my modern pick of the week. I actually really like this song for mainstream country. It's upbeat. It's catchy to me. So this is Point at You by Mr. Justin Moore. Alrighty, here it is.
Up toys, making noise on small town Friday night. Red light running, good time chasing. Guess I've earned this reputation. Probably never shake it, but that's alright. I got a rough side, a wide side, at least a country mile wide, a fighting side after a few. If they want to see my sweet side, my soft side, my best side, I just point at you. Yeah, point at you. Just what it is, it's got me all tore up like this. Your kiss done melted down this heart of stone. I still like to get a little crazy, but something about your loving baby breaks me down and makes me want to haul ass home. I got a rough side, a wild side, at least a country mile wide, a fighting side after a few. If they want to see my sweet side, my soft side, my best side,
right? So that was Justin Moore with his song Point at You on Penguin Radio. Before we take a look at Justin Moore and his career, I thought this would be a good time to just examine the two sections of country music. Now that, you know, we've heard from two classic artists of country and a new one. So their country And they have similarities, no doubt, but they're also really different. The music composed, I feel like, is just, it's a whole different thing. The rhythm is different. The way the chords are structured are completely different. Just the way it's kind of put together is just completely kind of dissimilar from it. And if you compare a classic country song to a new one, I feel like you'll see how the old country is just easier to comprehend and remember as far as lyrics and the composition goes. I feel like, I don't know, with, you know, the older songs, if you play the guitar, you can easily just kind of pick it up. But these are a little bit more complex. There's more that goes into them. And I do feel like there's just a certain charisma that these older singers have. And I'm not, like, in no way, shape, or form am I saying that, you know, mainstream country singers don't have that. I mean, some of them do, but in my opinion, most of them don't really stand out to me as much. After hearing a bunch of them, they all just kind of start blending in together. Whereas the other older ones, like just with, for example, Willie Nelson, like if I hear his voice, I'm like, oh, for sure, Willie Nelson. If I hear Lynyrd Skynyrd, I'm like, ah, definitely. Well, of course, you can definitely tell who's Lynyrd Skynyrd. So it's just kind of like that. Like, I feel like modern country, they just start all sounding the same to me after a while. And I don't know, classic country just kind of makes me feel like I'm back in the Wild West hanging out with like John Wayne and a horse. It's just really, that's what I picture when I listen to country, to the classic country. So I do feel like older music is geared more towards older folks and me. I'm in that category. And while mainstream country is, it's kind of more popular with my generation and younger people. So it's, they're both like subsections, and they do kind of play out to two different groups, which is, it's cool. You have the young and you have the old. So even plenty of the newer country songs are actually, they even make references to those who came before them. I know we'll probably have a few songs that mention a classic artist. So it's like, it's kind of cool because they're just paying homage to them. And I feel like most of the new country artists, they indeed did grow up with listening to the classic country. So it works. It's like a little bit of a cycle. So they're connected in some way, definitely. I feel like they're essentially, they're pretty much rooted from the same place. They just, you know, branched off in opposite directions is all. So just, you know, keep that in mind as we kind of, you know, listen to some old country and older rock compared to the new mainstream stuff that I'll usually play at the end of our shows. So let's get back to Justin Moore. Justin was born on March 30th, 1984, in his neck of the woods of Poyen, Arkansas. I think this is a really small town. I think it's like definitely under 500 people. It's a small, tiny town. He won the award for New Artist of this year, 2014, at the ACM Awards. That's the Academy of Country Music. And his current music label is Big Machine Records in Nashville, Tennessee, producing three albums so far that were released by Valerie Music Group. It's kind of like a subdivision to Big Machine Records. And the first was his self-titled debut album in 2009, so it was just called Justin Moore, easy to remember. And then a few years later, in 2011, well, more like 2 years later, he released Outlaws Like Me, which is also a really good album. I do love a lot of songs that are off of that one as well. And his most recent, from 2013, was Off the Beaten Path, which also included another hit called Letting the Night Roll. And I mean, it also, this was the one that Point at You was on. So in Point at You's music video, the song lyrics stay pretty true. Mr. Moore plays the part of a rowdy dude who's always being rescued by his very tolerant girlfriend. That's a good word for it, tolerant. And he's constantly getting into trouble during this video. Justin's getting, he gets like arrested a bunch of times. He's disturbing the peace. He does some racing. He's starting some fights, all while the leading lady, she just bails him out repeatedly. She convinces the police to let him go. She helps him win in poker. And she even throws a punch herself, I think, in the actual music video. So it fits perfectly with the actual song. I feel like some music videos that come out today, they have like no connection at all to the song. Like, I will watch them and just be like, what the, like, how does that even relate to it? But this is actually like, it's very true to the lyrics, so thank God it makes sense. Oh my God, how could I forget? And the cars in this video, you guys, the cars are just beautiful. Of course, Moore has like a gorgeous lifted Chevy, and there's no surprise there. And then the girl, oh my God, what did the girl drive? I think she drove a beautiful Mustang. It's just not fair. I just watched the video and just sat outside like yelling at my car. But the cool thing about Point at You's music video, besides the cars, of course, is that it's actually, it's joined to the music video for Let in the Night Roll. So if you watch them back to back, you'll see what I'm talking about. Watch Point at You first, because it ends in them racing. Like, she has her Mustang, he has his truck, and they just kind of take off and see who wins. And then Let in the Night Roll is like its sequel, since it picks up where they left off. So Point at You, they start racing, and then it ends, and then Let in the Night Roll begins, and then there's a car chase as a result of them racing the cars in the first place. So it's definitely a cool idea for those videos. I do feel like I haven't really seen anything that kind of intertwine together. So definitely awesome music video and an awesome song. So check both of them out. So you guys, that's the final song for today. I hope you enjoyed the modern one. And yeah, so once again, I'm Jax with Good Old Days for some country and southern rock and the music's backstory. So tune in next Monday, bright and early, at 8 a.m. on radio.dominican.edu. I'll be here. All right, you guys, have a good rest of the week, and I'll see y'all soon. All righty, bye.